Thank you, Elizabeth and Phil. We were hoping the banjo would show up today. Welcome to everybody here. It's great to see everyone after a lovely summer. And I'm hoping that you can all join me with the call to worship, which is on the back of your bulletin. If we could please stand and then remain standing for the singing of Great is the Lord, which is in hymn book 87. We are God's church. We come together to worship. He has given us his word. We come together to learn from him. He has filled us with his power. Go out to bring others to him. He has called us into his family. We come together to share our lives. He has put his words on our lips. We go out to tell the world about him. He has given us his spirit. We come together to celebrate. He has showered us with his riches. We go out to share his goodness with others. He has freed us from our past. We come together to move forwards. He has planned for us a glorious future. We go out to live our lives to please him. We are God's church. We come together to worship.
Let's stay on our feet, number 87 in the blue hymnal.
I will welcome you all again and hope that you all had a delightful summer, and it's great to see so many people. We are going to have a full service, and we're all staying for lunch, so it doesn't matter. It's all good. Right? I want to highlight a few things in the bulletin, and first, is there anybody who would like to be greeted as a visitor today? You can stand up and say your name, or you can introduce somebody who's with you. And if you don't want to do that, that's okay too. But you are welcome, and we're glad that you're with us today. So I'll give you another second. I don't see anybody jumping up, so we'll move on. In the bulletin, which is also full of lots of things that are starting and happening, I do want to draw some attention to the people who are in the hospital. Susanna Buller has had a broken hip repaired, and she is recovering. And Jacob Dick is in St. Boniface Hospital. And as of Friday, Ella Bickert was she's waiting to be admitted to the ward, but she's in Concordia Hospital due to some digestive issues. So if you could think and pray for those people, and perhaps they want a visit. There's different things starting here. The kids club is starting on September 19th. They're looking for volunteers as usual. Sunday school had its registration this morning, and I am assuming that volunteers are still needed. I saw a pretty blank canvas at the back of the church there, so go put your name in there and commit to this ministry if possible. There's going to be a workshop for the worship leaders in 2 weeks. If you can let somebody on that committee know that you would like to come. And of course, I'm always instigating some kind of project. So under number 9, there's a prayer quilt square project for Pastor Gary. I've set up something in the hallway beside the bathrooms downstairs because there's eating everywhere else. And if you could take a few minutes to, even if you want to just sign your name in a beautiful color, that square will be incorporated into a quilt that also, and we'll give to Pastor Gary when it's done. You can draw pictures, you can put a poem or a Bible verse, and it's done with fabric markers. If you don't have time, I've put some into packages, and if you go home and you have a Sharpie marker, you can do something with that too, and it works just as well. And we hope to collect those all in about 2 weeks. I'll have a station at the back of the church the next 2 Sundays, so if you don't get a chance today, there is time. Thank you. You know what? There's lots to read here and lots of things that you can involve yourself with. Oh, I also had an announcement from Winnipeg Mennonite Theater. They're having a casting call, not tomorrow, but the next Monday. And it'll probably be in next time's bulletin, but if you need that information, you can see me or call Leanna for those details if you are just needing to be in a play in the next few months. Well, I think we can probably move on to sharing time. Anything that's that you need to let us know about, there are roaming mics, and we're happy to hear about that. Somebody at the back there. I don't have my glasses on.
Good morning. Just give a quick update about Kim. I've seen that if she and Peter Hirschfeld and a number of others have been mentioned every week during the summer, and we appreciate that. And just a quick update, Kim spent most of June in the hospital, but she is now home with a home hydration system, which means she has a pick in her arm, and she has to give herself fluids, like 2 liters of fluid every day. And in order for the nausea to subside somewhat, she's giving herself gravel through that same PIC line because whatever she eats isn't being properly absorbed, obviously. However, she was able to spend a good portion of the summer at the lake, so we're just really thankful for that, and so is she. She feels that she was able to eat a lot of the good food there, so that was just great. She hasn't gained any weight, but she's not going the other way. So that's good. And, and she feels because she was able to connect with the family and all the friends and kids and whoever are all there that she's sort of back among the land of the living for a bit. So we're thankful about that. The other thing that we're just so proud about is our Michaela. You know that she's our oldest granddaughter, and she has worked very hard with some other people here in Winnipeg to put together her first album of all the music she's written herself, and it's for sale on iTunes or wherever you want, but she is also having her CD launch with all the other instrumentalists, soloists, and so forth, the band, on Thursday, September 22nd, at the Goodwill Social Club, I think it's called, at 8 o'clock. And if you would like tickets to that, you can call me. So, yeah, she's worked so hard, and we're so proud of that.
Very nice. Kathy Rimillard would like to speak in the back there.
Good morning. I just wanted to issue an invitation. We are having our musical Sunday on October 23rd, and I know from personal experience we have lots of talent in this church. So if anybody would like to sign up, we would welcome that. You can contact either myself or Jeff Zacharias. And on a personal note, I want to thank all the people that came to visit our mom. She very much appreciated that, and so thank you so much.
I'd like to say that Matthew is starting at MITT on Monday in the auto mechanics course. And, we hope that you can all pray for Matthew and for him to be successful at MITT. So, thanks.
If there is no one else at this time, we'd like to bow for prayer, please. God of love, we have come here today for a family reunion. You call us to recognize one another as brothers and sisters, your family in Christ. So, we pray for ourselves and the world and its people. We pray for areas in the world where divisions run between ethnic groups because of race, religion, or history. Lord, we ask that you help your people to be friends and make friends, your family in Christ. We pray for our communities, where different traditions shape our perspectives on things. Lord, help your people listen keenly to one another so we may appreciate one another and live together, your family in Christ. We pray for everyone gathered here today. During this week, some of us had happy news that we want to celebrate, perhaps experienced busy new schedules. And some of us have struggled due to recent surgeries, chemotherapy, and other ailments. Those people in our congregation may include Jacob Dick, Susanna Buller, Ella Bickert, Hilde Wiens, Henry Fust, Peter Hirschfeld, and Gary Martins. There are many more. Lord, we are all seeking your presence in our lives. Together, teach us to see each brother and sister with your eyes as we desire to be your family in Christ. Amen.
Joining us on piano and vocals is our daughter Astrid.
Jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are, how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how God loves us. How he loves us all. And he is jealous for me. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipse my glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how God loves us. How he loves us all. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how God loves us. Oh, how he loves us. portion and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how God loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh,
could I have the kids up for a children's story, please? Good morning. How are you today? We're celebrating today. We're celebrating the start of school. Yay! We're celebrating the end of the lake. Yay! No. But we are celebrating that we are all back. People have been worshiping in all kinds of different places this summer, and we're celebrating that we're all here again, and that we're happy, and that we're together. So, I have a friend at school. Her name is Mrs. Commission. Most of you know her. She was very kind and loaned me some of her lovely instruments. So, you are all going to come up, and when I say, and you all can pick something to make some noise, and we're going to celebrate. When you're at home with your family, what song do you sing when you're celebrating? Exactly. Happy birthday. But it's not birthday, so we're going to change it, and the whole church is going to help us because no one wants to hear Mrs. White sing. We're all going to sing Happy Church Day. Happy Church Day to us. Happy Church Day to us, and so on and so on. And we are going to make noise, and we're going to try and drown out all those people singing with their beautiful voices. How does that sound? Okay, let's celebrate. So I have some tambourines, some bells, and lots of sticks for hitting sticks. Got it? You hit the sticks to each other. I'll show you. Got it? Okay, come pick something up. Get
is there a cowbell?
No, there's no. Sticks.
Could you like to
stick? Stick. Stick. Everybody have something? Okay, I really mean it. Nobody wants to hear me sing. So, let's make some noise and then we'll bring them in. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to us.
Okay, now let's put everything quietly down and we'll just say a quick prayer and then you'll go back to your families. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful summer that we've had and the break we've had spiritually, emotionally, physically. Keep us in your hands as we pick up the threads of our lives and continue moving forward. Amen.
That was awesome. I loved it. Good morning. 3 years ago, on November 3rd, Gary Martins was installed as our lead pastor, a calling that was affirmed by the congregation last November when we extended his call. But unfortunately, things do not always go as we would think that they should. And this past June, Gary was diagnosed with cancer that is going to require chemotherapy and other treatments for the rest of his life. These treatments and the result prohibit Gary from fulfilling his responsibilities as lead pastor, and he is now in the process of applying for long-term disability. This means that Gary will no longer be able to function as our lead pastor. However, he would like to continue to volunteer in church as his health allows. Church Council has met over the summer, and we also met with Pastor Franz Weeb a few weeks ago. And we, as a council, have unanimously recommending him to the congregation today as a candidate for the position of a half-time, short-term pastor to fill in what is needed to keep our church programs going for the next year. You will find his biography in the bulletin. I encourage you to read that. And his task will be primarily preaching, visitation, crisis care, and funerals. A copy of his job description is also available in the foyer. We ask that all members of the congregation stay after the service today so we can vote on Pastor Franz Weeb. Council has also put together a search committee that will begin looking for a new lead pastor that will begin sometime, hopefully, in the new year. In the midst of all this change, we recognize that God has faithfully walked with us these past years. He will continue to walk with both the church and Gary in the days to come. We have asked the caregivers to lead us in a litany of thanks and blessing.
Just before the caregivers and Carol come up, I realize that things haven't always been clear. I've been trying to give an update about my health since January, and I kind of feel silly each Sunday because things keep changing. Well, they finally got nailed down on June 14th, actually. I saw the oncologist, and she said, "We can't fix you, but we can give you some time." So with chemo, they're looking at a few years, and so we're grateful for that. Some of you have been saying we need to pray for a miracle. Well, I have received a miracle. God has given me an incredible sense of peace. And you might want to pray for the rest of my family. They have to work for them. I know that God heals. Sometimes God heals miraculously. Sometimes God heals through medical science. And we're open to that. And if God heals, I'll be the first one in line to sign up for applying for that job that I've enjoyed so very much. But until then, I found some real comfort in the approach of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Deuteronomy chapter 3. Ferd Funk referenced this a few weeks ago when he was here. They're standing in front of the furnace about to meet their end, and they said, "We know God can save us, and if he doesn't, we're still going to worship him." And I love that approach because it says we trust God. God loves us immensely. And we don't have to beg God. We don't have to twist God's arm. We just know that God will look after us and do what is right. And so I stand before you, and as Rob said, we'll not be able to continue as your pastor. We'll still be here as volunteers. Can't get rid of us that quick. And so what I asked is if we could have a litany of thanks and blessing. I have many things to say thank you to you for and things that I would love to bless you for. So I'd like to ask Kim and James to join me and also Carol. For nearly 3 years, I've walked with you as your pastor, yet it has felt like I have been on the receiving end of that relationship. But I've done my best to hold before you the way of Jesus and respond to the hurts and joys I have always received back more than I gave. As Luke 6 puts it, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, pouring onto my lap. You have been so generous. While the circumstances of my leaving are not of what either of us would have chosen, I do need to step down, but I would like to thank you and bless you. Thank you for welcoming us into your church family. From the first day, you have made Carolyn and I feel like we belong, that we were among friends. Thank you for your trust and confidence in me as I tried the best I could to lead you in the way of Jesus. Thank you for your graciousness and patience when I tried to change things that were dear to your heart. And while you held your ground, you never felt me, made me feel like I was your adversary, but always your friend. Thank you for allowing me into the sacred spaces of your hearts, inviting me to walk with you in funerals, child dedications, anniversaries, and special milestones in your lives. Thank you for believing in me when I came up with new ideas that were maybe a bit weird, seeing them as places for the Holy Spirit to work rather than as threats. Thank you for loving us. These last few months have been a challenge. And you have responded with cards. We measure our cards by the pound at home right now. You have responded with hugs and cards and flowers and prayers. You have mixed your tears with ours as we faced an uncertain future. Thank you for being church to us.
Gary, we are honored to respond on behalf of the congregation. For nearly 3 years, you have ministered to us. You, Carol, and your family have been and still are an integral part of our church. You have bestowed many blessings on us in the last few years. While we continue to love and respect you as a minister and friend, we recognize that circumstances require us to release you from the duties and responsibilities of lead pastor.
You have become more than a pastor, than our pastor. Thank you for joining our church family and for continuing to be a part of us.
Your positive spirit has encouraged us. Thank you for caring for each one of us as a shepherd.
You impressed us with your thoughtful and memorized sermons. Thank you for sharing the Word of God with us in unforgettable ways.
You challenged us to embrace new ideas. Thank you for your vision and contagious enthusiasm.
You stood with many of us during our darkest days and best times.
You have held our trust and confidence gently in your hands. You have visited numerous members very faithfully. Thank you for your compassion and concern. You have mentored many groups and individuals in our church. Thank you for being a wise teacher.
You and Carol have opened your hearts and home to us even as you brave your illness. Thank you for showing us the courage and peace of Christ that passes understanding.
Despite your illness, you continue to actively participate in church. As we free you from your role as lead pastor, thank you for using your energy to continue to minister to us in a voluntary capacity.
Thank you for being the church, the body of Christ, to us.
If we could all stand and bow for a prayer of blessing. Also, after Gary responds, please join us from the blue hymnal, number 772. Thank you, God, for your church, a family where we are all invited to belong, and use our gifts and abilities to build each other up.
Thank you for your servant, Gary, who has invested his life in others. We thank you for his love for you and your people, for his charismatic and kind nature. Many have been blessed through him.
Grant us the grace and strength to allow change, to thank Gary for all he has done, and to release him from his position as lead pastor. Bless Gary and Carol as they move forward into the future. confident in the joy and strength of Christ, knowing he has been and is a good and faithful servant.
May God bless you as a congregation with joy as you continue to worship him, to love each other, and to care for the world. May God bless you with peace as you continue to faithfully follow Jesus. May God bless you with love as you allow the Holy Spirit to pour through you to all that you encounter. And may God bless you with hope as you continue to trust the future in God's hands.
And all together now from the hymnal. 772. May God bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.
Verses 42 to 47. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell their pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The God added daily to the community those who were being saved.
Psalm 133. Look how good and pleasing it is when families live together as one. It is like expensive oil poured over the head, running down onto the beard, Aaron's beard, which extended over the collar of his robe. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, streaming down onto the mountains of Zion, because it is there that the Lord has commanded the blessing, everlasting life.
Wonder if they were siblings. About a month ago, we had our family all together. Our son and daughter-in-law, and of course our grandson, Wesley, came from BC, and they came to our house. Our daughter, Carrie, and her husband, Aaron, were there. You know them from the church. Our daughter, Chrissy, and Elroy came down. And when they all got to the house, I brought them into the living room and sat them on the sofas, and I explained to them the value and importance of family. And I had some Bible verses and even a song in there. Are you kidding me? We stumbled into the house with a suitcase and everybody's trying to get a hold of Wesley and they're pulling out presents from their pocket to try and cajole him into coming to them. And we're laughing and talking about food and what's going on. And it was chaos. It was wonderful. We are a family. Well, guess what? We're a family. We're a family, and some of us haven't seen each other for a while. Some of you were enjoying God's beautiful nature at the lake. Some of you are on holiday. Some of you turn into bedside Baptist in summer. It's all good. But we're back. And when we come together as a family, we don't have some guy at the front telling us it's wonderful. We do something about it. So, in just a minute, I'm going to get you to stand up and greet each other. And so here's what we want you to do. Look around. You see some people you haven't seen for a while. Go and say hi. Ask how their summer went. If there are people you don't know, fix that. Ask what their name is. Tell them that Danny's Whole Hog brought an extra plate for them and they should stay for lunch. In fact, tell them if they come back next Sunday, you'll take them out for lunch. We've got a little time. I'll call you back when we need to. Glad you came.
Haven't seen you for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you should see our shower. It looks really good. It takes about a month to get the glass in.
Oh, my. Wow, wow. What can you do?
Yeah, wait.
You have time.
Yeah. Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks so much. Really appreciate that. Hey, morning. Is Jamie back in town yet?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to hear about that yet. Sounds good. All right, we'll do the rest of this over lunch. I'm trying to get your attention in case you missed that. That, my friends, that is what families do. We greet each other, and it's wonderful, and we could probably go on for another hour. And like I said, we'll invite you to do that over lunch. So I have a question for you. Why did you come today? Why do you come to... Yeah, Don, you're on next Sunday. Why do we come to church? Well, some people come to church because they love being on committees. Maybe your TV's broken. Maybe this is the only place you can get a hold of a microphone where somebody will listen to you. There's lots of good reasons to come to church. And one of the key reasons we come is to worship God, right? We come here, we open the Bible, and we go, whoa, God loves us, like we heard in this last song. Amazing. In fact, when we turn our back on God, God does everything he can to bring us back. Sends us his son to show us what love is about. In an ultimate act of love, dies on the cross, freeing us from our addiction to sin, opening up the way back to God. It's like Luke chapter 15, the Good Samaritan. The son says to his dad, give me my inheritance. And what he's saying is, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead. And he walks out and he spends his money in ways that I'm sure we don't even want to know about. And finally he says, I kind of messed up. I should go back. He's not talking about fixing family. He's talking about eating better. They got Danny's Whole Hog back there. What am I doing here? And he comes back, and here's the part of the story that always blows my mind. While he was a long way away, his father sees him. And I'm thinking, doesn't the guy have a job? How does he see him?
And you know exactly, those of you who are parents, what's happening. Every spare minute he's looking down the driveway, every time he can. Because his highest priority is to get his son back because he loves him so intensely. That's what God's about. And we come to church and we open the Bible and we say, that's our God. That God who loves us so intensely, so insanely, that he does anything to bring us back. Whatever we've been, wherever we've done, God loves us. And so what do we do on Sunday morning? We worship God. We have dark days. We have black nights of the soul. And the church is there to bring us back. We'll pick that up in a minute. The second thing we do when we come to church is we try to figure out how to take this love and pack it out there onto the street. I don't know about you, but I grew up with a sense that the church was a bunch of holy people huddled together trying to keep the world out so they didn't come in and make us all bad, right? So we'd lock the doors and make sure we taught people lots of Bible verses to memorize. I was taught that evil was a force that we had to be really careful about. And in fact, that at the end of time, there'd be this big battle between God and evil and hopefully God would win so it all turned out okay. It's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says is God created everyone in his image. And the Bible says that when things mess up, God so loved the world that he sent his son. And the Bible tells us that, is there going to be a battle? It's already happened. Happened on the cross. And guess who won? Love won. Jesus won. If you look at Revelation chapter 13, it's this beautiful picture about how what we're left with now is just the death throes of evil. And so our job is to come here, learn about this love of God, and then go out there, regardless of people's background or language or religion or life choices or anything else. Our job is to get out there and love them. And I've seen you do that in lots of ways. Sometimes you do that with your words. Sometimes you do that by volunteering at Siloam Mission or MCC, supporting refugees. There are lots of ways in which I have seen you get out there and love the world. I've been doing something a little different this last year or so. I've been giving money more often to people begging on the street. I know, you're not supposed to do that. They're going to go buy beer and marijuana, right? But you know what? I have 5 seconds to show God's love when I do that. 5 seconds. I don't have to do Bible verses. They don't get part of the sermon. Nothing. I just smile at them. How are you doing? When the words seem appropriate, you give them. And you give it to someone. And for those 5 seconds, they've experienced the touch of God. The love of God. There are a million ways to do this. We have been invited to reach out and care. We've talked a few times about the terms believe, belong, behave. And traditionally, we've said, well, we've got to go out there and save them, clean them up, and then bring them to church, right? It's backwards. The first thing we do is we go out there and say, you belong. You belong. God loves you. We just read it in the Bible. We went and found out for ourselves. Come and find out with us. And when they experience God's love shining through us, they begin to say, what's going on here? Paul talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, we are the aroma. I love that word. We are the aroma of Christ. Now, this maybe is not quite the right example, but I'll give it anyhow. My favorite aunt used to smoke. I don't remember what kind of cigarette it was. But to this day, when I walk down the street and I smell that smoke, it's Aunt Liz. It's wonderful. I haven't taken up smoking, don't worry. And what it says is that when people encounter us, they encounter the fragrance, the aroma of Jesus, and they experience God's love. A couple of chapters later in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, we are ambassadors. That means when people meet us, they're meeting the official representation of God. Isn't that great? We are the ones who carry that amazing love of God to the world. Third thing that we do, reason we come to church. This is kind of what we were aiming at. I just needed to get the other ones in there. We come here because this is God's gift to us. Do you know that right now, the person sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you, are some of God's best gifts to you? Look at them. This is what people, God has done. God has placed us in a family. And it's not like, what am I going to do with these people? I'll herd them together. But he said, I love these people. And just like my family, we love to be together. And we care about each other. You know, we have our bumps too. I'm assuming some of you do also. But we love to be together. We belong together. Being together is a gift. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, God's done a special thing here. Each of us has something special to offer. And when we come together, when we all do our thing, it builds us up and we become more than the sum of the parts. Like a body, he said. Heart and the lungs, and if there was motors, he might have used that too, right? Pistons and the connecting rods and all that kind of stuff. Injectors. We're all part, and when we all do our part, something magical happens. We become a family. Now, Paul has very carefully crafted this. Do you know what comes after 1 Corinthians 12? 1 Corinthians 13. I can't slip anything by you guys. In 1 Corinthians 13, what does it say? It's all rooted in love. When we give our part to each other as an act of love, wonderful things happen. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of noise. Not the wonderful noise we heard here earlier, but really dissonant stuff. And so God invites us to accept the gift of being family, of coming together to celebrate what's there, to enjoy the chaos, to enjoy the upbuilding. And I've seen you do this. I've seen you pray for each other. I've seen you weep together, and celebrate together. I've seen you support each other. I've had the phone calls that say, how's so-and-so doing? We've been thinking about them and we're worried about them. You care deeply. It's working. We're a family. Well, I'm going to pull a prerogative of a father on Thanksgiving. You know, you're all sitting there with the meal all ready to eat and you want to eat, and it's usually the dad who says, now we're going to go around the table. And everybody has to say something they're thankful for, and it can't be what's on the table. In a minute, there's a microphone on the balcony, and Peter has one here. And I want to ask you to share briefly about how has the body of Christ, how has the church been a gift to you? We need to say this to each other once in a while. And since I'm up here and none of you are probably going to stop me, I'll start. So be thinking, because your turn's coming in a minute. I've been a pastor for 35 odd years, and God has blessed me with wonderful churches. Take stronger person than I to deal with difficult ones. I just get the good ones. After the last church in Steinbach, I thought God and I had this figured out. We'd done our part. Now I had other things to do. I was going to build a house and 50 other things I wanted to do. I was all excited about this. But a few months in, both Carol and I felt something's missing. We're kind of, that rootedness and that activity in the church just wasn't there. So I went to see the denominational pastor and I said, you know, if there's a church out there, I'd like it to be a smaller church so I can be a pastor, not an administrator. A church which has gone past pretense. They're not trying to prove anything to anybody. They just come into worship. I says, if you got a church like that, you know, I might be interested. He said, I've got a church for you. And he brought me here and met with the vision council, or the search committee rather. And the search committee said, we're really kind of feeling pretty beat up. It's been a rough go. And we just need someone to worship with us, to help us as we love each other. And I said, I think I can do that. And so we started here. And as I mentioned before in my thank you, it's been amazing. And you've embraced us and cared for us and made us feel like we're family. About a year ago or so, I was thinking about this and praying about it and saying, God, what's my job here? What have I got to fix? What's wrong here? What are we aiming towards? Seemed in the
previous churches, it was pretty clear where we needed to pull. It took me a while to hear the response. And the response was, this one's for you. This church is there to love you, care for you. And you have. You have been family. And some of the nice things that Kim and James says, I hope some of those are true. I hope I did something here to be helpful for you. But I just want you to know, you have been such a gift. You have been the family of God to us. So, now it's your turn. Is there somebody that would like to share what the church has meant to them? Why the church has been special? Alvin has a microphone on stage and Peter has one here. And I know your names. If you don't stand up, I'll start calling you.
Do I have to stand up?
No.
Okay. I'm Adina Redekop, and the church has been there for us in so many ways that Ed and I are both thankful for. He's had a hard go. And initially Vanessa had a hard go, but she's fine now. She's a mom of two children. She's back at work part-time after being on mat leave. So things are going good there. It's still struggling, and sometimes that brings me down too. But being here today with the family has filled me up with joy to overflowing. I know the tears are flowing, but that doesn't mean anything. So, yeah, the church has been there, and I've thought back many times, like, where would we, Ed and myself and our family, be if we didn't have the church? I can't imagine fighting those battles and those struggles without the church and without God. I know in my heart we would not be where we are today. And for that, I want to say thank you to every one of you, because you have all walked this road with us. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Betty Jansen, for those who don't know. We moved away from Winnipeg about 1999, and I just wanted to say we've become part of a community out in River Hills, but it's so nice to come home here. We always are made to feel so welcome whenever we do come, and it really is a homecoming. Thank you.
Hi, Elfrida Gertz here. I'm not going to get up. There's half of this church. The ladies are in the same situation that I am. 13 years ago, life changed. But without this church, I don't know where I'd be. And my family realizes that also. Mom, keep going. So thank you very much for everybody's handshake, shoulder shake, and the last year also. Hey, I'm walking. I'm still in my house with the great support of my family. So thank you to the church again.
Thanks, Rita.
Oh, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Frank Stecky. You know myself and my wife, Helga. And over the years, I've had numerous health issues. The church has always been there and sort of been a comfort. My wife, Helga, has had a lot of issues. Both of her parents have passed. The church has always been here, been a comfort. As I've gotten more and more into coming to church and getting to know all of you, I'm starting to take on some newer responsibilities. I'm going to be taking on some worship leading, thanks to Gary, who's given me the confidence and the strength to move ahead and do something like that. 10 years ago, I couldn't have imagined doing something like that. I didn't grow up with a lot of religion in my family, but since Helga and I have been coming, well, Helga's been coming all her life, but since I've been coming here. It's become a very big and very important part of my life. So thank you to all of you for welcoming me from the outside over the years. And again, thank you, Gary, for everything that you've done and supported me and given me the courage to move ahead with this. Thank you.
Liz Tour.
Lenora Weep, over the years, I've been here since age 3. That makes a lot of years. And since Abe and I have been married, we have had health issues, mostly mine and some his. And I always knew that no matter who I talked to, prayers were always offered. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have a family that prays for me and for my family. So I thank all of you, especially over the time when I had all my health issues with the ovarian cancer and Abe with his surgery. Even though I didn't pray much at that time because I felt I was just too busy, I knew that prayers were answered and prayers were given. And I thank you all.
Charles Lage here. I mean, most of you know me well because I started coming here before I was born. I've always felt the comfort and support of the church. And even though I had some behavioral problems, you know, people still cared about me. And meeting you, Gary, has been one of the most amazing experiences of my life. We're very close to the same age. I didn't have a lot of friends my age, even up to about 3 or 4 years ago. And I felt the support when I was elected to be the vice chair and then the chair of the church. I felt the support of many members. Karen and myself, we very much appreciate our relationship with you and Carol. We feel that friendship back. So, I mean, it goes in full circle, Gary. You know, we show our love to you. You both show your love right back to us. And I want to thank this congregation for being as supportive as they have and for you and Carol. Thank you.
Okay, this was meant to be a primer. It's a trick. I'd like to encourage you today over lunch and as you visit together to take a little time to say, what has the church meant to me? It's pretty easy to become back to Luke chapter 15, the older brother all upset, sitting in the barn, nectioned and upset. But you know, we're going to deal with that in the next few weeks. Next week, we're going to talk about forgiveness and restorative justice. A good friend of mine, John Taze, will be speaking in the following Sunday. We want to talk about spiritual and relational healing. But the invitation is to see God at work and to see the gift that is here. The two passages that were read earlier are both passages that talk about the beauty of family. And we've just kind of had them sitting there to give a starting point. The Psalm 133 is a picture of the Holy Spirit coming down and transforming us into something, a family. And the passage in Acts 2, starting in verse 42, is what happened when the church started. Good things happened. They studied, they learned, they had communion, they ate together, they did all these wonderful things. Speaking of which, that's another thing families do together.
at least Mennonite families, when they get together, they eat way too much. They eat. And it's wonderful. And we want to do that today. And so there's a few more things in the service. And after that, the worship service continues downstairs around the table as we share a meal together, as we visit together, as we remember God is good and he has given us the gift of each other. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm so glad we could all come today. I knew it would be special when we're with family. We're going to just go into the benediction now. If you could stand and join me, and then we will sing number 427. The other song is nice, but it's not the right number. So, may the mystery of God enfold us. May the wisdom of God uphold us. May the fragrance of God be around us. May the brightness of God surround us. May the wonder of God renew us. May the loving of God flow through us. May the peace of God deeply move us. May the moving of God bring us peace.
Four, two, seven. You shall go out with joy. This is sort of a celebration as we go out, except we're not going out because we have a little meeting afterwards. But we will sing, it goes the first part, and then the second part, you go back to the first part. So we're going to do A, B, A, B, A. So all the way through twice, and then do the first part one more time. We've done this before, but just a reminder.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace.
Just a quick reminder, those of you who are members, sit down. You've got a quick meeting. The rest of us can head downstairs and continue the celebration.
Just wait a few more minutes. There's still some people leaving upstairs as well. So as I had mentioned earlier, we are going to just have a brief, or maybe not as brief. It's up to you. We'd just like to have a vote and a discussion, if there's any questions that people have in regards to, it's kind of come up suddenly and so forth. But as I said before, we had met with Franz Weeb a couple weeks ago as council. Many of you probably already know him. I think he has spoken at our church before. He was lead pastor at First Mennonite for quite a while. So I think he's known in the community. So we are proposing or recommending that we hire him on a half-time basis as our lead pastor. He is prepared to serve for up to a year in that time frame as we search for our next full-time lead pastor. So if there are any questions from anyone, please raise your hand and we can pass you the mic. If not,
I see no hands. Oh. Yes. Okay. Frank and James have, and James seconded. Okay, so then we will move right to the vote. We have papers that we will pass around. If you are in favor, please mark yes on the... What? One more question? No, I think we, for this, we should be doing a paper ballot. That's what we normally do for calling a pastor. So we should do a paper ballot. We'll do it as quickly as possible. We'll follow that procedure. Yes, I guess I should clarify. If you are in favor, please put yes on your paper. If not, put no. Is everyone who has wished to vote cast their ballot? Did we miss anyone? Okay. We'll be back very shortly. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. I have the results. We had 140 people cast ballots. Out of that, 96% were in favor, so the motion is carried. So we will hire Franz Wieb for the upcoming year. Thank you very much. And if I could just have someone make a motion that we will destroy the ballots. We will. Thank you. And enjoy your lunch. Thank you. Oh, what? Oh, Janet.
We just want to sing grace, that's all. So we could stand, and we're going to sing Praise God.
Praise God.